It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Okay, welcome back to the Labatt Studio, and it is time for quarter number three, which means it's Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Remember, go to 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs. Don't forget the listener, Dean, with the number one question this week, and I've got him here ready for Ross. They will receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some sauces and rubs in a nice tailgate box for you. So let's hope your question make it. Are you ready, Ross?
I am.
All right. First question comes from Chad in Kansas City. He says, Ross, which player, offense or defense, not named Sean Clifford, needs to have the best season in 2019 for Penn State to exceed expectations? And which player do you think will have the best season this year? So which one exceeds, offense or defense, which player needs?
Yeah, not named Clifford. Not but is the follow-up question any player in general?
Or? Any player in general think will have the best season this year.
Okay, so who's the most important player for their success other than Clifford?
Right. Offense, defense.
Offense, defense.
That is a tough one. Who would you guys go with?
It's Well, I would say out of all the things, they need a receiver to step up.
Now, I wasn't going to say receiver.
It doesn't have to necessarily be the five-star.
Yeah, it's got to be someone's going to step up.
Shorter was my pick.
I was thinking Hamler and Shorter.
Could be Dotson.
You know, I could also go Shelton, just as a D tackle stepping up next to Windsor, or I could even go Gross Matos or Micah Parsons, like. Yeah. I think we know what Gross Matos is going to be. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say they need Micah Parsons to have the same year that LeVar Arrington had as a sophomore when he was an All-American. I'm going to say Micah Parsons because, he made a lot of tackles last year.
Yeah.
And tackles are great.
Right.
But they need tackles for losses.
Disruptive. Yeah.
They need strip sacks. They need fumbles. So I'm going to say other than Sean Clifford, it's Micah Parsons.
Yeah, my sneaky choice would be Rasheed Walker because they need a tackle to step up and they don't have anyone behind him. If he's only just okay, they could be in trouble against some defensive lines.
And what was the second part of the question? First part was who do they need other than Clifford to be the best?
Yeah, and which player on the team do you think will have the best season this year?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I think Etor will have the best season. That was easy.
I agree.
I'm going to go Micah.
You're going to go Micah? Yeah. I think Micah's poised too. That's a good call as well.
I don't see.
Well, the only thing for Etor,
I don't see how Etor betters last year.
Well, especially since
numbers wise,
last year there might have been some people, having attention on Sharif.
Yeah.
Some people have. Now it's going to be all on Etor.
All right, let's keep going. Zach in Gettysburg asks. He speaking of Etor, he goes, "I remember when Etor was getting recruited alongside Josh Kando, and I thought at the time that Etor's hand usage was better. Did you think the same thing? And do you believe that technical skills are more important than useful skills?" And one quick addition, he asks, who was the best guy you ever went against in the NFL and was the hardest for you to block?
I think I know the answer to this. He said it already once before.
So you guys know I was very high on Etor, number one. Number two, that's another Virginia dude.
Poor Virginia.
Poor Virginia.
This is the beat-up Virginia show.
Trace McSorley and Ricky Slade, and there's a lot of good players from Virginia that come to Penn State. And I would say, do you think it's fair to say, if you look at Virginia Northeast, Virginia Tech's probably the second best program.
Yeah.
Who's even in the running? Nobody. Boston College? I mean, from Virginia Tech Northeast, I'm not including West Virginia, but even West Virginia, if you did include them, I'm talking like 15 states here or whatever. I think Virginia Tech's the second best program. So I would say, that's a tough question and a good question. I would say for high school athletes, I'm thinking physical ability.
Right.
But then once they get to college, it's the skills, it's the hand usage, it's the technical stuff. So I don't really know how to answer that. Like when you're watching a video, I want the guy that's the biggest freak, but then once they actually get there, it's who develops that. I saw a great quote by Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Broncos, talking about Noah Fant. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this because they were talking about Noah Fant. He ran a 4.5 and he had this jump, the Iowa tight end. And Vic Fangio said, just because you have tools doesn't mean you're a carpenter. I thought that was great. It's very true. It's very true. It's so much more at the next levels about your skills than people realize. Like, Nick Bosa is not the biggest freak of nature of all time. He's a very talented athlete. He's just so good at what he does. He's just so good with his hand and so well schooled in that stuff. You can tell he's repeated it over and over again. So there's two answers I give for best guy I ever played against. Do you know what they are,
Bob? I remember two guys that you mentioned, but I know you mentioned a guy that played for the Niners, and you mentioned Leroy Glover.
So for D tackles,
yeah.
Bryant Young and Leroy Glover right. were really good, hard to block. But the two best guys I feel like I ever played against were D lineman would be Richard Seymour from the Patriots. He was so good. And the shame of it is he'll probably never make the Hall of Fame because in the Patriots defense in the 3-4, you have to play run for the first 2 seconds. You literally don't even come off the ball. You just stick your hands in the chest, the old lineman in two gap. Richard Seymour was best defensive lineman I ever played against in 7 years. And then the best player was Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
I'd say at least half the time that game, I started at center in 04. He called out what play we were running. Every time I went to block him with the butt of his hands, he would lock out my shoulder points and shed me and then make the tackle. I came back in the huddle one time and McGahee's like, Tuck, maybe just try to cut him or something. I was like, all right, I will. I mean, and I tell that story all the time. This is good for the young people that listen or the parents. The two thing, when people think Ray Lewis, they think big, fast, strong, ferocious, the dance. The two things that make him the best guy I ever tried to block, how often he knew what play was coming and his technique, neither one of which takes an ounce of talent.
Right.
Both of those are just putting the time in. Good question, Gettysburg.
Uh-oh.
Good double question.
All right, let's keep moving. Steve in Huntington Valley asks, how does Penn State's offensive scheme factor into the offensive line's general lack of development over the last few years? It seems like they rarely have the opportunity to fire off the ball and be road graders.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They run plenty of inside zone, and everybody in college football runs the same offense for the most part, other than like Iowa, Wisconsin, Army.
Right.
Almost everybody runs the same.
Well, offense. I think of C.J. Thorpe. You were like, okay, he's a great run blocker, but his pass blocking's terrible, and that's a hindrance today.
Yeah, I mean, they run the same offense everybody in college does. I will say this. Let's say your son's 17 years old, really big kid, could go anywhere. Are you and he's offensive lineman? Are you sending him to Penn State, or are you strongly considering Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Iowa, Stanford? There are certain schools where NFL scouts and O-line coaches, right or wrong, say, I know what I'm getting in an O-lineman from Notre Dame or Wisconsin or Iowa. I don't think they say that about Penn State. You know what? They used to. They used to. With like the Wisniewskis. I'm talking Steve Wisniewski. I'm talking Hardings. And they used to know you were getting – I'll go back to – Sean Farrell and Munchak. You know what I mean? Like you knew what you were getting from a Penn State offensive lineman. They lost that. And they lost that right around 2000. Like right around LeVar and Courtney Brown. Their offensive line was terrible those years. And it really hurt them.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go to 409 Tailgate Club for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 Tailgate wine needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, let's keep going. This one comes from Joe and Jeanette. How long will it take this season for this team to find its identity? And will it be a function of the passing game, the running game, or the defense? Interesting question.
No, I think that's a terrible question.
Okay.
I really do. Like, I hate questions. Who is it? What's his name?
Joe and Jeanette.
Terrell Pryor was from Jeanette.
From Jeanette?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe I'm just biased because Terrell didn't sign with Penn State. I don't know. Like, I think they'll probably figure out their identity against Pitt. You know what I mean? Like, I think they'll find out what kind of team they have against Pitt. I don't know if it's the run or the pass. I have no idea. I think hopefully it's probably a pretty good balance of both, which is what they've been and they've tried to be the last couple of years. I think last year they were too heavy on the run as opposed to being able to throw it better the 2 years prior to that. So I don't know. Those are like vague questions that I feel like are impossible to answer. I don't know. Bob, go ahead. You can answer better than
me. No, very vague. I agree. It's just, you know, you'll know in the fourth quarter against Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State what kind of team you have. That's basically what I would say.
All right, let's go to Mike in Haverford. He says, oh, cerebral one. Considering his physical skills and experience from last season, do you think P.J. Mustafa can take another step and become a dominant defensive tackle for Penn State in any way, shape, or form?
So I think dominant might be a little bit of a stretch, but I think he can be good. And maybe even very good. It's rare for a guy to go from doing nothing to being dominant. Like, there's usually some progression, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up starting next to Windsor. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the three-man rotation, Shelton, Windsor, and Mustafa. I saw where Mustafa said recently that he thinks they could have the best interior defensive line in the country.
I saw that too.
That's young, dumb, and full of vigor.
I think that by the time he's done, the guy that he's going to remind me of is Austin Johnson. Austin Johnson took a while to get going. His last 2 years at Penn State, he got better every year. He was athletic. He could have played either nose or three, but I think PJ might be a better nose tackle. I don't know, Ross, do you think?
I think his skill set is that of more of a nose tackle. That's going back to like the carpenter thing and tools. You know, most kids are not that refined at understanding blocking schemes and what they're trying to do to you and playing off of it. This guy's going to block down, pulling around. It's a scoop block. It's a double team. That takes some time. And then not only that, but to get your hand usage to the point where, you know, high school, these guys just dominated. They didn't really have to get their hands right where they needed to be. Lock out, shed. So I think you would hope that he's a good player this year and potentially dominant his last 2 years if he's there for 2 years. I'm going to go with Gettysburg. All right. Not Joe from Jeanette. Joe, just so you know, we love you. I didn't love the question, but I still love you, Joe. I love the Jeanette Jayhawks. Was it this year? No, 2 years ago they won it. They had a kid that was really good. Anyway, Gettysburg won, though.
All right, Zach in Gettysburg, 409 Tailgate Club. Gift box is coming your way. That's it for quarter three from the Labatt Studio. We finish strong next.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.